Today's show is brought to you by TheBeehive.com. Everything you've ever wanted in your life is there. You just go to TheBeehive.com. It's there.
It's pretty simple. People go on lifelong searches for what they want, you know, years and years, decades even. All that you need to do is go to TheBeehive.com.
Go
it's simple.
There.
It takes 2 seconds, depending on your internet speed. You just go there, zap. Everything you ever wanted, right there.
Takes me about 5 seconds, but that's my fault. I'm poor.
That's 2G.
Okay. If you're rich, takes less than 1 second. If you're middle class, 2 to 3 seconds. If you're poor, 5 to 6. Regardless, you'll get there.
I take 4 seconds because I'm between middle and poor.
I'm poor as hell.
Yeah, it's okay. The main point is you can still get everything you want in 6 seconds. It's an incredible thing to have at your fingertips, dude.
So the beehive.com, you got to go there. Also, over the weekend, I've used my Traeger a lot as of late.
Uh-huh.
The old Traeger. And they're one of our sponsors, so I just want to tell you, wow. Traeger can really cook a meat. Did you know that?
That's your review?
You
need to give a better review. What did you cook? How long did it take? What was the internal temperature? All the stuff that the meat people say.
A lot of people don't realize that cooking is mostly about temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Almost no one understands that.
Yeah, no.
The folks at Traeger, they understand that.
Okay.
Like, you know what? We're going to make sure that you have access to the temperature of your meat at all times.
Okay.
So if you're cooking chicken, you need 165.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're cooking beef, 145.
Okay.
If you're cooking pork, I don't know. I don't cook pork very often.
Yeah, that's okay. Pork's good, but I would say you should cook the other things first. What I know is I play golf with a huge meat pervert, and he's got a Traeger. And he gets way excited because there'll be a certain moment in the round, and he goes, you guys! And we think something crazy is happening, and he calls us over to his phone, and he'll show us like when the meat hits its temperature climax. And then he goes, okay, this is the perfect temperature. Now we just wait for 2 hours, and then I go home and do this, and it's just perfect. And everybody looks at him and goes, I'm sure that's going to be good. It's super weird that you called all of us over.
That's not weird.
To look. No, it's weird. It's weird.
What would you rather see? A picture of someone's kids or a picture of, or like an app that shows the internal temperature of meat that has nothing to do with you?
I would rather look at the temperature of meat.
Exactly.
But the argument is nobody's on the golf course. And they go, you guys, and come over. And they go, that's my son, John. And I go,
I do that all the time.
I'm trying to tune into the shot. Hey
guys,
here,
just before we all tee off, just want to show you my son, picking my son Parker here. What a cutie. Anyway, as we were,
this is,
get going.
This also ties into the golf course. I ran into a friend who I hadn't seen in years and years, like 8 years. And he goes, hey, how's it going? I go, it's going great, dude. And he goes, check this out. And he pulls out his phone. And I go, oh, okay. And I look over and he's like, so, yeah, I got 2 kids now. Let me show them to you. And he starts flipping through the kids. And I literally said, I'm like, dude, you got to know your audience here, pal. This is not an introduction to someone like me. You don't pull out 2 pictures of your kids just out of your sleeve. And I haven't seen you in 8 years. You don't even pull that out when you've known me for 8 years in a row and see me every day.
Are you ever nervous when somebody pulls out their phone, they open up their like photo app and they start scrolling and they're you're watching as they scroll. You're like, this anything could pop up. This is insane that you're just doing this.
You're talking to a man who is so paranoid when I have to go into my Apple Photos or Google Photos. I literally will hold it away from people. I'm like, okay, wait, hold on. I can't remember. Okay. And then I look at their faces. I'm looking through the photographs and I'll see the vile ones. And I'm just like, I look right in their eyes and they know. They're like, I'm glad that I'm not looking at what you're looking at. And that's why Traeger is such a great company.
Traeger's a great company. Good meat. They care about temperature. I care about temperature. You care about temperature. Everyone cares about temperature. Traeger. You can buy a Traeger. Also go to TheBeehive.com. You can watch this entire show in its entirety whenever you want. It's on demand.
Mm-hmm.
You can also stream it live every morning at 8 a.m. You can do whatever you want. You can watch your favorite segments. Skip your least favorite ones.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you want. Go to TheBeehive.com. And now, let's beehive. You are looking alive on a Monday. Boys, a Monday. Boy, are you alive? My name is Clint Benz.
My name is Chris Rawl.
You ever wanted to be an auctioneer?
No, but you have, and I respect you for that.
I used to go when I was a boy, young man, Saturday mornings, about 6, 7 a.m. You had to wake up early for it. Used to go down to the old Spanish Fork. I don't even know what it was called. It wasn't the...
The jail. It wasn't county jail.
It wasn't the main fairgrounds.
It's still the same name.
But
it's
there's
the
like
jail.
Some. There was like some auction place.
Okay.
And you could buy a cow if you wanted to. You could buy a nice little sheep if you wanted to. Like the actual sheep.
That's cool.
You could buy chickens. You could buy ducks. Or you could buy like quilts.
I like everything you've
household items or anything like that. Anyways, I used to go there with my dad. Just to sit on his shoulders. He'd pull me up close. Can you see, son? That could be you someday. And the auctioneer's going super fast.
Can I get $3? Can I get $5? Can I get $7?
Who wants his calf? Who wants his calf?
Sold! A can of homemade butter for $7. The boy on the shoulders.
Such a treat to go there. I wish it was still around. Yeah. I'm sure there is. We should try to find out, Kelly. If there's auctions and auctioneers, I'd love to have an auctioneer on the show.
Dude.
It'd be interesting. Huh?
We could get an auctioneer on the show and just have him sit in on the whole show. And any introductions to a segment, any transitions, all that kind of stuff, they're the ones who do it. So they do it in the quick auctioneer speak. And then we're into it. And we go, whoa, wow. It'd be a thrill.
That would be a thrill. Let's find an auctioneer, Kelly.
It would also give you somebody to look up to. Because it sounds like this was one of the things that you wanted to be in life,
oh,
but you
still
haven't.
Is. I just can't talk.
Well, you haven't become
I unfortunately
that.
Can't even talk normal speed, let alone fast speed.
It's a skill. It actually is a crazy skill.
You've got to go super fast. It's crazy how fast you've got to go.
Have you ever actually bought anything in an auction? Like like held up the sign, you know, sold a number 22.
I didn't personally give the money. But I went to recently, actually, this is maybe 2 years ago, I got way into this idea of being a bison farmer. Buffalo.
Yeah, I remember that.
A lot of people call buffalo, it's bison in North America. Yeah. Don't screw around with me.
Common misnomer.
Common mistake. So I got way into bison, and my uncle is actually a bison farmer. He has a whole bison, is it farm or?
Yeah, it's a farm. They call him a bison farm.
Yeah, he has a bison.
In North America.
Harvester.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bison harvester. Anyways, tons of buffalo, tons of bison up in Idaho. And I went to this auction. There was like this, it's like Silicon Slope Summit for bison people.
That is the most intense description of an event in the history of the world. There's a bunch of networking buffalo.
It's networking for farmers.
No, I can just look you up on LinkedIn anyway. What was your name again?
No,
okay, Clint
no,
Betts.
No, they don't have
no
LinkedIn.
Chris.
But they do like, so there was like some event, I can't remember what it's called. It's like the 15th annual buffalo hurrah or something like that. But they have classes and panels and keynotes and all these. It was fascinating. It was like, yeah, I'm at home here. I could put on this event. You guys want me to organize? And then at the end, they have a buffalo steak dinner.
Oh my gosh. This is not like Silicon Slope Summit.
Yeah, the food's way better.
We ate like pasta salad.
And they give out awards like Farmer of the Year, Wrangler of the Year, Bison of the Year, all these different like of the year things. And then the next day there's an auction and they're selling their wares.
They sell all the things that were awarded. Like you can just buy the bison of the year and kill it and make it into a steak for next year or for even tomorrow
they
night.
They sell these bison. And so I went with my uncle because he was buying like a bunch of them.
Cool.
And I was like, let me do one of those, dude. I grab his number and I'm like,
that's actually cool.
I hold up the
number.
That's
a position
of power. I got 300 here. Anybody got 350?
What did you offer? Do you remember?
No. They always say, well, start at 300. And
oh,
they,
okay.
So you don't ever have to say anything. That's what's cool about the auctioneer. They make your life easy.
Dude.
They tell you where the number is.
They're so powerful.
They
just tell everybody what to do in their lives.
It's like, we'll start this bison at 325. And I'm like, 350. Oh, 350. And then I won because I guess that's what it's called. Well, did I win?
I don't think they call it a win.
That's a win.
You paid $350 for the bison of the year.
They go, going once, going twice, sold. And then they said my uncle's name because they didn't know me.
Do you ever think about what we've chosen to do is probably the worst thing we could do relative to the other things that we explore?
I would.
You could be a person who's farming bison, dude.
If I had
and
a bison
going to
ranch.
Auctions all the time.
My life would be complete if I had a bison ranch.
Of course it would. Instead, you're on the show.
This is stupid. I hate this. I really do hate the show.
What is the show?
What I think it's so stupid.
We talk about some website that solves the world's problems. And yet every time I go to the website, the world's problems remain.
It's like your standard
It's just a domain. It's Netflix, just a URL.
Netflix style website.
It's just a
with
URL.
Some old stories.
What could possibly happen that would save the world's problems?
All right. Another thing we need to talk about is your birthday's coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody needs to submit three things they hate about Chris. His birthday is March 27th, so it's coming up.
12 days from today.
Send those in. Chris@thebeehive.com, Kelly@thebeehive.com, DearUtah@thebeehive.com, on Twitter, however you want to do it.
Every person who listens regularly to this show should participate. If you don't, I will come to your house and I will pick a fight with you. A verbal fight, not a physical fight, because you will win.
War of words.
But I will come and I will have a war of words. And as everybody who knows, who listens to this show, I'm a wordsmith and I will destroy you in a war of words.
Imagine going to somebody's house, you knock on their door and like, hey, let's debate.
No, I don't even debate them. I go, call your family around right now. And they call them around and I go, look at this person. This person sucks. Let me tell you 10 reasons why. And I just go off on them. Ooh. And they have to sit there in front of their family and take it.
Duct taped.
That's
sick, dude. You're a pervert.
I am. Yeah, I am. That's one of the three things you could write in about or voicemail in about.
So three things you hate about Chris. Send that to chris@thebeehive.com, kelly@thebeehive.com, dearutah@thebeehive.com. Don't send it to me.
Oh.
I'll get lost. But all those other places, that's fine. Now let's see what's going on in the beehive. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, the great Traeger. So I guess the Grammys were last night. You know what the Grammys are?
For musicians, I believe.
Yeah, it's like music and the spoken word.
Yeah, the spoken word? What are you talking about?
You know Barack Obama has a Grammy? So does Hillary Clinton for the audio version of their propaganda
books. I don't like that.
How
I don't
crazy
like
is that?
Look, we have other forums for people who are just speaking things, okay?
Literally, like, I grew up in Illinois.
This is about music.
Or, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what their books sound like. There's no way they're good
those
writing. There's
like
no way they even wrote them.
Yeah.
Although Obama wrote his first one for sure, Dreams of My Father. That's a good book.
Gosh dang.
Because he actually wrote it.
Gosh dang.
Anyway, the point is,
I'm not reading the book if that's what you're getting at.
I think you should read Obama's first book. I don't think you should read his second.
I'm not going to read any of them.
I think you should read his first book.
As a ghostwriter myself, I refuse to read the fictional works of people.
So the Grammys were last night, and there's some controversy.
Oh, man, I believe
it. Isn't that fascinating?
No. Yeah, it is
fascinating. Show, and it's automatically there's controversy. I'd love one thing to happen in this culture in today's day and age that wasn't controversial.
I'm shocked. If you would have told me the Grammys was last night, I would have said, it's going to go off without a hitch. People are going to be chill as hell. We're all going to go to bed feeling good about life.
So there's all sorts of controversies. I guess like there was a performance that may have come across as a little bit too sexual. That's sexual. But we don't say sexual on the show. So it's sexual.
Yeah.
So it came across as like a little too sexual for some people. So there's some anger there.
Okay.
And there's also like there was something to do with like a comedian said a joke and people were mad about the joke.
Yeah. You don't look.
Which is interesting.
If there's one thing I know, when a comedian says a joke, you got to go after him.
You can't just joke about
it. Look, we subscribe to a very particular brand of humor. It's essentially dry bar comedy. You know, you come with the clean stuff, the good stuff. If you stray off the beaten path at all, no, that deserves a hammer dunk from the audience. They go, hey, listen here, sir, that you're out of line. That might be kind of funny, but you don't joke about stuff like that. And you set them straight.
Yeah. Just say something about mashed potatoes and you're good. It's funny. It's clean. No one can get upset.
And people like mashed
just
potatoes.
Just say like, hey, I don't put gravy on my mashed potatoes. And it's all
everybody goes,
clean.
That's crazy because I do.
Check that up. Very funny.
We love clean humor.
Something dumb like that. Anyway, so that's a thing.
Okay.
And then I'm also seeing on the various interwebs where everyone tells you what to talk about and what to get mad about every day, right? Like there's sites on the internet where you can go and you're like, who should I be mad at? What's controversial right now? Where should I direct all of my anger and just my total lack of empathy for anyone in this world and my own sadness? Like, how do I distract from my own sadness in this world in order to get angry at someone else?
Well,
and take out my anger on how my life is going.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of making fun of these sites. I need sites like this because I don't get worked up on my own. I go and I live my life and I feel pretty chill. I go, things are going all right. I played some golf today. I watched some basketball. I'm feeling pretty good. Then the day is about to end and I go, wait a second. Wasn't the Grammys today? Oh my gosh, I haven't been outraged about one thing. I haven't gone and called for somebody's I want to call for somebody's job, you know? Usually I do that in the morning to you. I go, "You need to resign now, sir." And you go, I'm sticking it out. It's so then I got to go to one of these sites for that. You know, yeah. I go, "I don't know what to be mad about. Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out." Oh, there's a comedian I can go after. Good, I like that. Oh, too sexual performance? I really like that. It's a chaste man.
Yes, you will.
I don't have the same guidelines as you.
Like, if anyone was watching this show right now, they'd be like, why does Chris have one collar tucked in and one collar out?
Yeah. And you know what I would say? Cancel. I'm too sexual of a man.
Let's get rid of him.
People would look at that and they'd go, oh, look at that. Chris, he's so disheveled. He looks like an idiot. Oh, look.
There's one in and one out. What are you? Are you an innie or an outie? You can't be both.
Here's a quick word to the wise, you know, true fashion trendsetters. Here's what they do. They go out into the world and they say, "Ooh, the world at large might not look on this kindly. I'm confident enough in my own skin. I'm going to pop one collar out. I'm going to keep one in. I'm an innie and an outie." Everybody goes, "That's against the rules. That's against the rules." Mm-mm. No, not for not a for true you. Fashionable a trendsetter. I'm a trailblazer.
That's cool.
You want to get mad at me? Come at me, dude. Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about John Oliver that I saw. He was trending, the comedian. But here's my thing, like, and we're going to talk about comedy shows a little bit later in the Dear Utah segment. But have you noticed, like, the comedy shows are not funny?
So I don't watch any of those comedy shows. All I see are their trailers, and which I would assume they go, let's get something really funny to try to attract people to watch the show. I can't even believe that it's a trailer for a comedy show. I'm like, this is a, oh man, this must be the worst written drama in the history of the world.
There's like a trailer for like say James Corden. It's like coming up after March Madness, James Corden. And he has like a basketball and he like tries to twirl it and it like falls down. He's like,
11 p.m. Eastern.
11 p.m. Eastern.
That one I kind of get now. When I hear about it, I get the comedy. Maybe he's just not good at delivering it. I go, he doesn't know much about ball, but he'll be there after the game.
Oh, boy. So clueless. But then they come out and they monologue and they just like tell you the news.
Yeah.
Like, here's the news.
Well, they help out people like me again. Like, you're not going to know who to be mad about and who to be angry about unless you get a nicely delivered monologue. And they go, guess who's stuck in controversy? This person, they said this. Pretty funny. Now let's go just burn them on Twitter. Let's burn them.
If you're a comedian, I do wonder if sometimes you feel like you've totally sold out because you're wearing a suit, making millions and millions of dollars, giving the world the party line, basically. Like, it's something that almost everyone agrees with is what they talk about.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, everyone agrees with everything they say.
Oh, yes.
And it's not funny.
Yeah, the part...
It's really fascinating.
The part that...
That isn't comedy.
I know. The
I don't
part
know
that
what
it's
it is.
Not funny, I don't love.
I don't know that what it is, but it's interesting. John Stewart kind of started that, if I remember. Like, John Stewart did, like, The Daily Show with, like... And it was all about, like, politics and stuff. And I was like... I used to watch that show, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Because it's like a... It's a take on the world. Now, granted, again, it's like a take that the majority of the country agrees with. But it's a take, and it's interesting, and they do it in a kind of a fun way. But it's not funny.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what to tell you. It's not funny. If you want me to play devil's advocate, I can't do that.
I was hoping we'd argue.
Imagine if I stuck up. I go, guess who I do think's funny? Conan O'Brien. Have you seen the trailer for Post-March Madness on TNT?
They work for, like, General Electric.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the parent company or some crazy, like, conglomerate of, like, the worst companies in the world. And they're making millions of dollars wearing suits, like, looking into a camera. Like, can you believe this?
I mean...
Can you believe our president did this? I can believe anything.
I get what you're saying. You're more into the comedy world than I am. And so I do get what you're saying about... the world, the comedy world has just transformed into this like corporatized non-funny entity. The sad part is this is actually going to be a topic for No Baller tomorrow. Like, every single industry has just kind of become that. Like, I have a huge thing that I'm ready to talk about tomorrow again on No Baller about ESPN and the NHL, and so I'll save most of my thoughts for them. But like, if you look across the board, you're just like, that's kind of what that is, and that's kind of what that is. It's all just this like warped version of what it once was. And pretty much anybody who's into that particular thing, for you comedy, for me sports, I'm just like, this is worse than it was.
No, I think it's not just for comedy. Like, look at the NBA. NBA is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. They're like leading out on issues again that are super important, but ignore issues like what's happening in China, like when Daryl Morey sent that tweet,
mm-hmm.
because it hurts their bottom line. The issues they're leading out on right now, everyone, again, the majority of the country, like, who wouldn't agree with that? That's easy, right? But like, China's like oppressing and killing people. It's like, that's going to cost us billions of dollars, though.
Right.
So don't tweet out about that.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like, there's no courage in agreeing or putting out a statement that literally you can point out like the freak shows, like the weirdos who don't agree with the statement, but they're not, it's not as big as we think.
Right.
Anyway, in church news, and I'm not church kidding, news. This is from church news.
I don't know. What is that?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has their own publication called Church News.
Okay.
And no, it's not Deseret News. It's different.
I was going to say, I didn't
this
know
is
they were.
Church News.
So do they look at the Deseret News as the like, towing
liberal.
The line, stepbrother, the liberals.
Liberal elites.
Carrying a bunch of water for Biden. That's how they view the Deseret News.
Probably, I don't know. So this is a fascinating story. Did you know that on March 19th, 1971, there was an all-church basketball champion crowned?
Can you imagine if I knew that?
All-church
basketball. How intense
would
it be if I said, yes, I did know that. Let me tell you a little bit of the history. An all-church basketball? Okay, continue.
So there was an all-church basketball championship where wards competed, and wards are, you know, like little, basically who's in your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mr. Rogers style. Whoever's in your neighborhood, that's your ward.
Okay.
Okay. And you see each other on Sundays and you play basketball with each other on Wednesday nights. Once the parties are over. Okay. You got to wait a second.
So you start at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and you've got to sweep the floor once the parties are over. Then you can play.
Get the cotton candy off the floor. Get the caramel corn into the corners.
Anyway, so they had this thing called the All-Church Basketball Championship where wards throughout the world, this is like the World Cup.
Okay, this is cool.
Wards throughout the world competed for who was the best basketball team.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's way cool. So they used to do this all the time. In Jay Smith's day, I call him Jay, but a lot of people call him Joseph. In Joseph Smith's day, they would do these types of things, but it wasn't basketball. It's like
sawing,
like who?
Mutual sawing.
Yeah, log cutting contest.
Mutual logging.
Leg wrestles, thumb wars, tic-tac-toe, that type of thing.
Did they gather people from around the world to do that? Or
oh,
was
yeah,
it more
it was world
just
champions.
Okay.
World champions.
So you'd beat three dudes in Utah in a thumb war, you're like world champion thumb wrestler.
In Nauvoo. Yeah.
In Nauvoo. Okay, yeah, sorry.
So on March 19th, 1971, the Orem 20th Ward, the 20th Ward, claimed the All-Church Basketball Championship. And you know what? They've never relinquished it because that was the very last time the All-Church Basketball Championship was played.
I thought they were going to be this like juggernaut that won for years and years and years.
No.
That's
that kind of
cool. So the swan song was the Orem 20th Ward.
You know a cool thing that they do? They get together every year.
They're like the undefeated
they
Dolphins?
They do a team dinner. Just like the Dolphins do.
That's actually so
cool. How cool is this?
Oh my gosh.
They do a team dinner.
Cool. So they're all 90 right now. And
yeah,
they get together.
Super old.
They get together, pop the Martinellis, settle down to a nice dinner of taters and who knows what, and they talk about their past exploits. That sounds like the coolest thing you could ever do.
The importance of physical activity and healthy competition has existed since the early days of the Restoration. Joseph Smith, again, this is church news. So it's going to be filled,
this is not the Deseret News.
Yeah, it's going to be filled with some language. Maybe
this is not the Deseret News.
If you have
news.
Questions, email us. So the importance of physical activity and healthy competition has existed since the early days of the Restoration. Joseph Smith famously enjoyed wrestling and stick pulling matches.
Is the stick pulling where you put your feet together?
And you pull.
And you sit down on the ground?
And they pull.
And the loser ends up suspended over the winner, right?
It's a lot of heaving. No, yeah, everything back in the day ended with, if you won, that person is on top of you.
The loser is the one on top, right? Face to
I'd much rather be the loser.
The loser's on top, face to face with the winner. That's what a...
You got me again, Jay.
That's what a stick pulling match is. Who came up with that sport?
That's cool.
That's the best they could come up with. I mean, look, I get the leg wrestling. I get it. The thumb wars, the stuff
leg
like that.
Leg wrestling, same thing. You end up on top of the person if you lose.
The leg. Is that
the leg? The leg wrestling's even weirder because, like, it's a weird part of your body that ends up on top. Have you ever beat someone in a leg wrestle? It sucks to win.
I don't think
it sucks to win. It's not that bad to lose.
I can't say I've leg wrestled or stick pulled. Probably the closest I've done is a tug, big tug of war.
Yeah,
you know?
Tug of wars are cool. His prophetic successor, Brigham Young, was also a proponent of exercise and even reportedly had a gymnasium in his Utah home. No way that's true.
Yeah, like what? He's got some... Oh, let me guess.
That's a big fella.
He's paying for the old
What's
elliptical.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go run a marathon real quick. I'll be back.
Hey, give me your Peloton login.
Nah, he probably did. This is the church news. It's probably right. All right. Over the first half of the 20th century, church-sponsored sports had become ingrained in the Latter-day Saint culture for legions of boys and young men.
Cool. What about the women?
Yeah. Great question.
They didn't want him to go and exercise?
Hey, great question. Several prominent leaders, including President Thomas S. Monson and Elder L. Tom Perry, relished their own experiences competing for their respective wards on the softball diamond or basketball and volleyball courts. Here you go. Here's your question. Women never participated in all church tournaments, although many performed specialized roles, such as serving as tour directors and social chairpersons for teams visiting from outside of Utah.
That's the most intense line I've ever heard.
This church news.
What is going on?
And it says, for elite, and it has elite in quotes, for elite teams, such as the Orem 20th Ward.
Oh, my.
A deep run through the annual all-church tournament was an enticing target.
Okay, yeah.
It was a big deal, Winkle told the church news. I can't remember who Winkle is. I think he's the...
I'm assuming that's the team captain of the 20th Ward.
He was on the team.
That's a great name for
Winkle
a captain.
Winkle Boy was on the team. So Winkle, former guy, a member of the 1971...
Championship
team.
He's a champion.
A title which has never been relinquished since. Winkle says it was a big deal. A lot of people love the all-church tournaments and tried every year to get there. Over the years, I've gained a much greater appreciation for what an amazing thing the tournament was and how special it was to be on the team to win the last M-M-N-E-S tournament. Men's tournament, in parentheses. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know why they had to specify that. They already said the women never participated. Winkle played basketball at Utah's Richfield High School before moving to Orem to attend Brigham Young University following his mission. His old high school basketball coach, Larry Schlappy.
Holy cow, that's a baller, dude. Holy cow. The whole story should be on Coach Schlappy.
Larry Schlappy was coaching his 20th Ward MMNES team, men's team. I don't know why they do M twice. And was thrilled to have one of his former players on his roster. Winkle wasn't the only young elder in the ward who could play ball.
Wait a second. They had a coach for their church basketball team? Is that what I'm finding out?
Coach
Schlappy went from high school and then upgraded to a church basketball coach.
So I've been a coach of a church basketball team. There's nothing more exciting.
Why did you bury the lead? Who did you coach?
The ward. Neighborhood. Neighborhood kids.
Why?
Who? Neighborhood kids who shared the faith. Wanted to grow and prosper.
I love that you looked around your neighborhood. You go, these kids, they need a better father figure. I'm going to step in on the church ball court. Come in with my clipboard, my whistle, call myself Coach Schlappy. That was you. That was your alias. You didn't want to be known by your real name, your Christian name.
The ward team could have beaten a lot of junior college teams at the time. We just had good players, said Schlappy.
He said that they could beat junior college teams?
They could beat a lot of them, just a couple.
Okay, let's walk it back a little, Schlappy.
That's what Schlappy said.
Schlappy,
who is now 80, but still remembers the 1971 tournament in crisp detail.
There's no way that's true. I've met 80-year-olds. I can assure you they don't remember much in crisp details.
Elder Thomas S. Monson spoke at the fireside for the tournament.
What fireside? Cool.
They do it, of course, you know, like once you're done... You shake hands, you say a prayer.
Okay, gentlemen.
Everybody, let's go into the chapel. Monson speaking.
Oh, so this is back in the day.
This is back in
the day. I thought they were talking about present day stuff.
Schlappi enjoyed a long basketball coaching tenure, but his voice still betrays joy when he recalls winning the 1971 All-Church title. We were so excited that night. What do you think they did that night?
What does it mean when your voice betrays joy? Like you're trying to suppress it. Why is it a betrayal?
We are proud of the 1971 title.
I think the All-Church tournament should come back.
Yeah, I would love to be assistant Schlappi to your coach Schlappi. You know, if we could take some of the younger kids under our wing, coach them up with the X's and O's, you know, teach them how to run the old three-man weave, stuff like that, we would finally be doing good in the world. People always come up to me and say stuff like that. Oh, you're so selfish. What are you even doing for anybody? Mm-hmm. And I go, that's a good point. I'm not doing anything for anybody but myself.
Got my collar out.
Imagine if I was assistant Schlappi. And they go, what are you even doing for anybody? And I go, pull out my phone. Go, look at this. Mm-hmm. These are 12, 14-year-olds. That I look after. I teach them about basketball. I have them perform dribbling drills, make them shoot free throws. When they don't do good, I don't get on the case. I build them up. I go, it's okay. We all have a bad day. Then I'd have something good to talk about.
The All Church Championship, which is All World.
Which really? Is the world. I mean, they're better than most NBA teams at the time, is what I would say.
I think if you had that tournament now, the winner of the championship could probably beat most NBA teams.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day, the LDS church was significantly smaller than it is in present day. Mm-hmm. So I'll bet if you said, hey, we're going to combine or we're going to get all these basketball teams in various areas of the world, because now it's a pretty international organization, I guarantee you could get some pretty dang good basketball teams.
Oh, for sure. You got Jimmer.
And you could got some. I don't know. Why would Jimmer be playing on it?
Jimmer's going to be in there.
He's on the Shanghai 8th Ward thing.
Yeah, he's going to be representing his ward.
Yeah, he's been playing in Shanghai. That's where he would be.
You got him for sure. Sean Bradley.
Oh, there'd be a lot of people. And then we'd be the Schloppies.
Big T Bailey.
Imagine if we were slopping around with Big T.
Big T, come here for
Big
a sec.
Big T, I need you on the block. What's T. all this floating around there?
Time out.
Big T, over here. Over
come
here.
Come here. I didn't like the way you ran that.
Big T, here's how I want you to approach the game. You know when you pretended to be David in a dramatic rendition of David and Goliath, and you sang the notes so low. Everybody can watch it on YouTube. I've watched it on YouTube. That's what I want you to hit out on the court. Hit you know, I want you to hit those notes.
Go low.
That's the kind of Schlappi stuff. And it'd go low. Big T. That's the kind of Schlappi antidotes we'd give.
That'd be cool to see Big T back.
Yeah, it'd be cool to coach Big T.
Big T, I'd love to coach you.
I actually don't even fully mean this as a joke. I don't want to dedicate all the time, but I want to come in like once. You and I should coach a team. Not that's tied into like your kids or anybody. I think we need to coach a random team.
Spanish Fork High School.
I want like low level.
Spanish Fork High School.
I want like
team.
A 10th grade about? Junior jazz.
Why was Spanish Fork High School not low level?
That is true. They're low level. Hey, take it back.
It's like high level.
No. Not the like high level varsity squad.
All right, that's it. Let's talk some sports. We just talked a little bit of sports.
Yeah,
let's talk a little
some
bit more.
More.
And now, no baller.
Okay, I'm still fired up by our Coach Schlappi discussion here because all that's been on my mind is basketball.
Schlappi
in spades,
Joe.
Schlappi Joe. That's another great... The possibilities with the name Coach Schlappi are endless. You know, you run a sweet inbounds play and everybody in the crowd, they go, that's another Schlappi Joe special. And you look over with the clipboard and wink at me and I wink back at you. I nailed him. Nailed them up, boys.
It's 11-8. 2 minutes to go. Let's get going.
If it was 11-8 at the end of that game, that would be a high-scoring affair. Most of those Ward basketball games, like, you ground them out, you know? We're talking 6-3. Like, they're like high-scoring ice hockey affairs. But for basketball, quite low-scoring. Basketball, however, we're like in the throes of the season, you know? This past sports weekend, grand weekend on a lot of fronts, right?
I didn't like the loss yesterday, but sure.
Well, the Jazz are going through a little bit of a rough spell, pre-All-Star break and post-All-Star break. I guess they're just 1-1, but really unimpressive yesterday against Golden State. However, this is a side subject, but I'll discuss it real fast. I said this 1 month ago on No Baller, which was when the Jazz were riding as high as they possibly could. I go, you don't need to get swept up in this. It's fine. It's cool. Enjoy it for what it is. And then when you really need to worry is the playoffs. And if you want to weep and gnash your teeth and get all fired up about all the things that are happening, that's the time to do it. And it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. However, in the meantime, enjoy what's going on. This is cool. Now the Jazz are on the regression side of things, which is they don't look very good. And instead of just being like, okay, it's a regular season, literally every single team in the NBA will go through a spell like this. Instead of just kind of brushing that off and going, it's all right, we're still the one seed, and you know, we have the easiest schedule of the contenders remaining. Let's just take care of business, get the one seed, and see what happens in the playoffs. Hmm. Instead of that, the fan base has gravitated between two extremes, which was a month ago. Everyone would go, the Jazz are a legit contender, and if you think otherwise, you're an idiot. Here's all the things backing that up, which is fine. I'm not going to fault anybody for doing that. The strange part is now, a month later, we're at the point where the exact same fan base is going, this team is terrible, all these players are atrocious, and here are all the reasons why, and the Jazz are going to flame out in the playoffs because of this. Which, again, like, we don't need to overreact to these things. They're definitely somewhere in between the middle of these two, like, very intense views of the same squad. But just, it's fine. It's fine. The Jazz did not play well yesterday. They turned the ball over a lot. They did not play good defense. Gobert was literally the only player on the team who seemed like he was
Gobert
playing basketball.
Had a monster game.
He was awesome in the game, but like everybody else played badly. Mm-hmm. The main point is, it's okay. It's all right. Everybody's going to go through a spell.
Clarkson was wild. Didn't he shoot like 22 times?
Clarkson was atrocious. Bogdanovich was atrocious.
Dinwiddie.
Favors was not good. Mitchell was not good. Like he scored some at the end, but he just was inefficient. The main point is, it's fine. Relax. Just chill out, okay?
You don't need to tell me. It's the blue checks on Twitter you need to tell. The blue checks freak out of like play-by-play.
It's fascinating following a specific team throughout the course of a season. It truly is. Like, and I always want people, whatever fan base you're a part of, I always want to go, look, go and like, I truly want every person to go and follow a team for a season that is not their own team. So if you're a huge Jazz fan, pick any team. I don't care who it is. Preferably actually a good team, okay? So you can like go into it thinking all of these other contenders, they don't have any of these blips and none of their fans think there's a problem with the team. And they're just, everybody always goes, this team's so good. Like I follow the Lakers as closely as I do the Jazz because of LeBron. And they have the exact same traits in the fan base. I currently, like the Colorado Avalanche are my favorite team in hockey. Mm-hmm. A team that is right at the very top of the odds boards for the Stanley Cup, okay? And like, their fan base is more panicked than the Jazz. They're easily sitting in a playoff spot. They've been decimated by injuries. They're grinding out these wins. And after every game, it's like, the sky is falling. Here are all the players that are terrible. And I go, guys, they just beat the Kings 4-1. They've won 3 games in a row. Like, I get that we always, as soon as you engage with the idea of a team being a contender, it will never, ever, ever match up to that until they've actually won the title. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you have to approach it a little bit logically and go, oh, no matter who I follow, there's always going to be spells. And especially when you're honing down on individual player performances, it doesn't matter who the player is, especially during the course of a long regular season. You can look in, like if you watch LeBron every single night and you truly went in and just said, hey, if I want to nitpick, I can nitpick. You could nitpick LeBron James. Like you can nitpick any person over the course
sucks.
Of an 80.
You're right. LeBron
well,
sucks.
This year, 60 games. LeBron sucks. That's what we're learning from this.
So March Madness is here.
So this is what I actually want to talk about, okay? Because March Madness is here. I don't watch a ton of regular season college basketball. It used to be...
It's hard to do.
It used to be one of my favorite things when I was growing up.
Regular season?
Regular season college ball. I was a huge really? College football, college basketball. I've retained the college football stuff, the college basketball. Regular season, not so much. However, because of that nostalgic connection, I still got like a big rise out of March Madness. But I go in more blind than I used to, which is actually more fun because I'm just like... Okay, the teams that I've watched, it's like the top of... I know Gonzaga's really good. I've watched a few of their games. I've watched some BYU stuff because they're local. I know Baylor's good because I've watched them. Beyond that, I'm just like, I don't really know. I can go read about it, and then I'm going to gamble. Mm-hmm. March Madness is such a cool experience for people who, A, like sports, but B, love to gamble. Because the best gambling experiences, as you know, they're rapid fire. And it's when everything is condensed. So March Madness, you know, it begins Thursday with the playing games, but the real heavy meat starts on Friday.
That's Friday.
And it starts 10 a.m. and you just start going. And you bet every single game. And it is so freaking fun. I can't even handle it. We actually need to set aside one day of March Madness as a national holiday. I don't say that as a joke. I truly believe that's true. We have holidays for everything under the sun.
Everyone treats it like that anyways.
It should be officially recognized. This is the only thing I care about right now the government doing. Yeah. Let's step in here, legislators.
Where are you, Biden?
Where are our local leaders?
Where's Biden when we need him?
Oh, the mask mandate's leaving? Well, where's our March Madness holiday? Even if it's just one. Okay.
Biden doesn't even know it's March.
Well, maybe I'm not looking towards him. Who's a good leader that I can look to that knows what month it is? Mm. Where I say, hey, listen here,
good
sir.
Good question.
I want to write.
Good question. That's a thinker. That's one of those thinkers.
Maybe I'll come back to you on that after you have a little
That's
time
a
to
real
research.
Thinker.
You going on the list, just looking at age. So 90, let's see here, 75.
I don't think Schumer would know.
Let's see here. Maybe Hatch. Maybe Hatch now that he's retired. He's gotten a little more lucid than when he used to fall asleep. But back to March Madness. I found out the team and player that we all are going to root for. I'm choosing this for you. I'm choosing this for everybody
okay,
who listens
who
to this podcast.
I'm fascinated.
Okay. So I'm watching the semifinal to the Mountain West Conference tournament because I bet on it. Okay. So it's up on one of the screens. And it's coming down, and I go, you know what? I want some of the audio on the game. Okay, I'll put it on the audio TV. So I flip it up there, and it's Utah State against Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Utah State. Actually, I did one year there, so I even have a bigger tie-in.
Utah State usually has a good program.
Utah State has a good basketball program. So I flip it on. They got this guy on their team. His name's Marco Anthony. He's a transfer from Virginia. And again, I know nothing about this team, so I'm coming in blind. So I flip it over, and the announcer's like, oh, that's Marco Anthony. You know, pretty cool story about him. He wears the number 44, which I'm like, okay, you know, it's tied into his date of birth or, you know, like this or that. And they go, he actually chose the number 44 because he's so passionate about Wendy's, the restaurant. And his favorite thing is the 4 for $4 Wendy's meal.
This guy's so cool.
And so I hear this and I go, I immediately, like, I was not really paying attention. And I look over and I'm just like kind of mesmerized now. And I go, oh my gosh. This is the most genius move in the history of players. I can't believe that the person who thought it up, and it sounds like he got it to it pretty like organically, because after the game, it's getting like passed around and like Wendy's is tweeting at him and he's just going freaking out on Twitter. He's like, dude, I love the hamburgers. They're super cool. Like just pumping up Wendy's. the craziest restaurant to just pine for, right? But he's all over the internet just riding with Wendy's going, yeah, Wendy's, the fries, dude, they're balling, this and this and this. So I'm kind of like catching this and I go, this is actually genius.
Mm-hmm.
Because the easiest possible way to just get any random schmo, somebody like me on your side, is to have a tidbit about yourself. And like tying into a jersey number is perfect because announcers, they will eat that like catnip. As soon as they catch wind of it, they love little tidbits they can tell on air and go, you won't believe why Marco Anthony chose the number 44.
He really likes that 4 for $4.
He loves the 4 for $4 from Wendy's. I hear that and I go, I don't know anything about the guy. And I'm just like, this is the most likable person in college basketball. He has to be. If he is wearing a 4 for $4 Wendy's jersey, this guy has to be a baller. So just based upon that, now Utah State, they're an 11 seed. They're playing Texas Tech on Friday. I go, I got to ride with my Wendy's boy, dude. This guy's going in. He's getting everything. Mm. Oh, 4 for $4. Maybe I'll get a cup of chili, a baked potato,
I wonder
a
if he dips his fries in the chocolate.
I guarantee he dips his fries
in the
frosty, dude.
Yeah, the chocolate frosty.
Anybody who likes Wendy's, that's what they proselytize for.
I hate doing that. I've tried that. It's disgusting.
It's not good. It's nobody has ever been able.
Why do people like that? Dipping the Wendy's fries in a chocolate frosty.
If it was good, that says so much about what those fries and what that shake is like. Like, imagine that combination anywhere else. If you just go, I went to Five Guys, and you know what's way good? Getting this, like, good shake and these good fries and dipping them together. That would make no sense.
So we have BYU in the tournament. We have Utah State in the tournament. We do not have the University of Utah, which has been a terrible program
for
a while.
It's
really fascinating.
Out.
University of Utah, not a good program.
BYU plays Saturday night. They play the winner of a playing game. Michigan State plays UCLA, so that winner will play BYU.
BYU is a good team, maybe the best team in Utah, if I understand. Like, I think they've been a little bit better.
Yeah, BYU's a 6 seed.
Utah State's always good, though. Always good.
It makes no sense that Utah State has a good basketball program, but they do. It's kind of interesting. And they have the most likable player in the nation. I actually think other players, especially the professional level, because it's really, really, really hard. Once you learn more about a professional athlete, it is so hard to like see them as just a person that you're like, that person seems pretty likable. They just all become what a professional athlete is, which is a super rich person that's kind of disconnected from life, which is fine. I'm sure I would be that if I were in their shoes. The main point is the way to like get people to like you. If you're a man of the people wearing a 4 for $4 Wendy's jersey, of course everybody would like you. Imagine if an NBA player had that in college and wore that into the NBA and they go, yeah, I make
like
a big
Larry
deal
Bird?
Of wearing
no.
44. Isn't that
like
Bogdanovich's
four.
Number, actually? I think Bogdanovich wears 44. I'm pretty sure he is.
Wasn't Larry Bird's 44 too?
No.
Oh. What was
33.
Larry Bird was 33.
He was the three at the time when he was 3 for 3.
The 3 for 3.
At the time, I knew it was two numbers in a row.
All right, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What I like about watching Utah State is it always looks like the exact same team I've watched for the past 50 years.
Utah State is cool.
Hasn't he played there for 50 years?
Utah State is the exact same team every year. It's way cool. Utah State is also cool because they're the epitome of a good college basketball team that does not have like the high-end talent of the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Carolinas that just like cycle in these NBA recruits every single year. They just get these like fundamental ballers. Mm-hmm. And they go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to grind you in a submission with this sweet system. We coach it the same way. Everybody knows exactly what to do. And we're going to shoot the hell out of the three-pointer. And that's how we're going to beat a bunch of teams.
They've
it's actually
the
fascinating.
Same haircut, like the hot guy haircut. What is that haircut called, Kelly?
The hot guy haircut.
The Flo-bee?
I love that Kelly knows what it's called, and it's the Flo-bee.
Is it so you part your hair on the side, but it's like kind of high, but everything else is tight?
The high and tight Flo-bee,
maybe. The high and tight Flo-bee.
Yeah, that sounds
is that right? Yeah, the high and tight Flo-bee.
Look, as a hot guy who does the one collar out, one collar in, I know a lot about what the hair colors or haircuts are like.
March Madness begins on Thursday. We'll be talking about that a lot more, I assume. All right, let's go to why, though. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Rags.
Welcome to Why Though, and welcome to Country Music Monday. As everybody who listens to this segment knows, every Monday we celebrate country music, the traditional genre of music of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And every Monday we read a song on air, we dissect the lyrics, we find out what it means, we find out what it applies to the world at large, all those kinds of things. So Clint, today you got a song for me. Mm-hmm. Our country music correspondent Kelly, who's also our producer. She's handed it down to you. You know, it's kind of it's like a family line thing. Mm-hmm. She gets the song. She hands it down to you. You get the song. You read it down to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this podcast works. So today, what do we got? Who do we got?
So you know I like horses. No, no. I feel like I've been clear about
that. I'm the original horse watcher.
I love a good horse. I think everyone does. You get on a horse, you're walking around, you're feeling good.
Yeah, I used to ride horses. That's not a joke.
So there's a couple hot guys named Big and Rich.
They are hot.
And they're big and they're rich.
They used to. Okay, so Kelly's put a picture up on screen. I can tell which one is the more attractive. This is a pretty hard one out of the two. Because one's got a nice, he's got a nice hat with the nice hair. Mm. But the other guy's got the brooding look.
Show the whole studio here, Kelly. Let's have the audience see. All right, so you got the big top hat here from this guy. I like the top hat guy. He's probably the hottest.
Well, there's nothing hotter in country music than a nice brood. And so the guy on the right, who's got the little pencil goatee, he's sitting there and he's thinking about just, oh, where did my relationship go wrong? I need a good woman in my life to set me straight. He's thinking about stuff like that.
I'm guessing Tall Hat is big.
That'd be cooler if he was rich.
And the brooding is rich.
Big and Rich took over college football intro music for one season.
No way.
Yeah, every year college football, they kick off on a Thursday, and so ESPN will make a big deal about whatever the game is. It's usually a SEC game, but like a low-level one. So South Carolina will play against Arkansas or something, right? Mm-hmm. And so as part of the festivities, they'll get a country music band to come in and play a pregame concert. Mm. So one year, they bring in Big and Rich. And so people freak out. They go, this band is awesome. Look at these hot dudes. Who's big? Who's rich? We don't know what's going on. The rest of the year, every time they'd show a game on ESPN, one of the main lead-in songs, they'd like pull out a big and Rich song. Just these two big, rich dudes strumming away.
What?
It was not good music. It was actually quite bad. And it did not set the tone for me wanting to watch college football. It actually made me want to watch it less.
Well, let me know if they did this song.
Okay.
Before one of the things. They put out a song, a hit song, one of the bigger songs. Bigger than any Beatles song.
A big song and a rich song. Bigger and richer than any Beatles song.
Yeah. It's called Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
I already like the title, Thinker.
Already fascinated.
Already a thinker.
All right. So here's how it starts. Dum dee dee dum, dee dee dum dum dum, dee da da, dum dee dum dee dum, dee da dum dum dum, dee da 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 da.
They know how to set the stage emotionally. I take back what I said. What a stage setter.
That's not a joke.
Dum dee dum, dee 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 dum, da da dum dee.
All right. And then it continues. Now that's the intro.
Okay.
Now here's the start. Well, I walk into the room passing out $100 bills.
Rich. Rich as hell. Big and rich.
And it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown. And everybody's getting down. And this town ain't never gonna be the same.
How's he so rich? And second question.
How's he so big?
Is there a counter group that's small and poor? Like two dudes who are small and poor? They get together and they're probably a folk band because they don't make very much money.
Yeah, folk.
But one plays the banjo and one plays the accordion.
Mumford and Sons.
It's Mumford. Maybe Mumford and Sons started as small and poor. And then they got big and they're like, we can change our name. This is kind of an embarrassing name.
All right, here's the chorus. Because I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise because the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Okay. First of all, I don't get why he's making so much noise because the girls are pretty. What is that all about? Like,
just making tons of noise.
Look, I've been around a pretty girl a time or two in my day.
I don't believe that.
From afar, you know, like at an event or something.
Yeah, I see.
Like when I go to Silicon Slopes Tech Summit every once in a while in the crowd, I'm walking around and I go, oh, I'm in the same room as 20,000 people, and some of these are pretty women. But I don't feel the need to start making a lot of noise. You know, like, oh, ooh, ooh. I don't even know what sounds I would rely upon.
Those ones. Those
would
sounds.
That help my case or hurt it? You know, is a man trying to put his best foot forward?
I don't think it would hurt. Can't imagine anything hurting it.
I hate that the next Silicon Slopes Tech Summit, I'm going to get escorted out by security because I'm like, all right. Finally going to get the big date, you know? And I go into the audience. You know, the stuff's going on. I start going, ooh, boy, ooh. That's not going to go over well.
No.
Second of all, I don't like the townspeople. They seem too concentrated on sex. Because at first he says, oh, you know, the ladies, they go, save a horse and ride a cowboy. But then he goes, actually,
everybody.
It's just everybody, you know? And for me, that when you say everybody, that's everybody in the town.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally everybody. So now I'm walking into the sex-crazed town.
It seems like we're talking about Nashville, too, because he says riding up and down Broadway.
We're in this sex-crazed town. I've been to Nashville, you know?
It's sex-crazed, actually.
Well, yeah, it is sex-crazed. I didn't know what to do there, you know? I'm going in, I go, excuse me, ma'am, what local
fare? Glass of water?
What local fare would you recommend? Mm-hmm. She goes, save a horse, ride a cowboy. That's what's going on. And I go, I don't even. So like, barbecue.
I'm wearing a polo.
I go,
where do I fit in?
This one collar in, one collar out arrangement seems to be working. Would you agree?
It continues. Well, I don't give a dang about nothing. I'm singing and bling blinging while the girls are drinking, long necks down. And I want to trade old Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Escalade. Why would you? That's so dumb. First of all, a horse and a Chevrolet is more than an Escalade. So it's worth more. Like a really nice Chevrolet and a horse, it's worth more than an Escalade.
What?
The combination, let's say you need a horse trailer.
This isn't...
You need a big old, probably like a 3500 Silverado.
Yeah.
To tow that
You got to have some horsepower.
That's 80, 85 grand. Escalades are about 50, 55.
I don't know how you know all these prices. Second of all, I don't like that he thinks it's some KSL swap meet where he can go to an Escalade owner. He goes, I'll trade you Leroy and my Chevrolet. Chevrolet, what is it called? Is it a Chevrolet? Silverado.
Silverado,
okay.
Yeah.
I was combining Chevy with Silverado.
They're cool.
They're
expensive.
That's a good brand name right there.
They're way expensive. I mean, that's a low end brand new Silverado, about 80 grand.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to trade old Leroy or my Chevrolet for your Escalade or your Freak Parade. I'm the only John Wayne left in this town.
What's the Freak Parade?
I don't know.
I don't get that at all. Is he talking? Who's he talking about?
That's a good point. And I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise because the girls, they are so pretty, riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Now, everything I've read up to this point, they sing.
Okay.
That's singing.
Okay.
Okay. Beautiful voices, beautiful men. What they're about, what you're about
beautiful
to hear.
Beautiful voices, beautiful men singing to beautiful women.
Singing in harmony. There's nothing like two men harmonizing.
Ever,
all right, I'll go low.
Do you ever step back and just go, wow, everyone in country music is so beautiful. There's not one ugly person. There's not one ugly person singing or playing. Not one ugly person within the songs. You know, there's nobody. which is weird. It doesn't match up with my view of this, like, low down, bottom of the barrel part of America. Mm-hmm. They go into these Dust Bowl cities and they go, I mean, everybody's just incredibly attractive, and I'm incredibly attractive, and everyone's, I wouldn't trade my horse for, you know, anything.
Now, this is the part of the song where they just speak. This is finally spoken, this is spoken word.
Possible Grammy in the future here?
This
what?
Is the spoken word. They're probably going to get a Grammy.
Possible
for the
Grammy?
Word. All right, it continues here. I'm a thoroughbred, that's what she said, in the back of my truck bed. As I was getting buzzed on suds out on some backcountry road, we were flying high, fine as wine, having ourselves a big and rich time. And I was going just about as far as she'd let me go.
Okay, let's just take a pause real fast. There's a lot of stuff in there that I need to talk about. First of all, why is he talking about beer and wine? It seems like it should be, if it's a romantic excursion, you choose one of them. If it's the backwoods, we're going to go kick down the tailgate. Okay, you take the beer. If you're going, I'm really trying to woo this woman, I think this is a classier excursion, we're taking the wine. The mixing, it sends a mixed message. You know, what's the outing? I really like to know what style of an outing it is. And that's
so
tied into what kind of a drink it is.
This is the style of outing. They're in the back of his truck bed. And she just recently in the early evening, she said, "You're a thoroughbred."
Yeah, okay.
So that's the outing we're in.
So it's a beer night.
Back of a truck.
So it's definitely...
And he does say he's getting buzzed on suds. And he says wine, but he just says that she was fine as wine. So they don't have wine.
I know, but he's doing this alliteration thing, and he's mixing alliterations. I don't like that, okay? Second part. I think he's saying this thoroughbred line is like, oh, this is way cool, and look how cool I am. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the situation... And I'm with my prospective date, you know, and things are going well. And she goes, "Listen, dude, you are a thoroughbred." I would be so freaked out. I go, "What makes you think that? What would make you think that? Honestly,
I don't even know if that's good. Is that like a brown horse?
I don't think it's good. I don't because
is that a white horse.
Well, I'm guessing based upon the way that this night is heading, they haven't engaged in anything physical yet. This is at the start of the night, is what he's saying. So he's like, "This lady comes to me. You haven't done anything physical." She goes, "You are a thoroughbred." Now, me in the situation, I go, what? Second, I go, oh my gosh, now I have the highest bar I gotta climb. Like, if I'm not the number one sex haver that this person is engaged with, it's gonna be a failure. You know, she thinks I'm a thoroughbred based on what? Because I got tight Wranglers? Because I got a big belt buckle? Why does she think that? Because I got an old stud Leroy that I rode into town on? What is it based upon?
Listen, ma'am, old Leroy's the thoroughbred here, not me. That's what I'd say.
Has ever in the history of the world somebody just met someone else and they know nothing about them and they go, "You're just a thoroughbred."
Ooh.
That's so weird. That
That'd be intense happened. If anybody ever said
oh
that to me.
Oh my gosh. They would come to you, they'd be like, you're just a pony. You're nothing but a pony. And you're like, yeah, that matches up.
You're just a Shetland.
You're nothing but a Shetland to me. And you're like, that matches up. Let's head on out to the truck.
You're just a Shetland pony.
Then when you head out to the countryside and you're in the back of the truck and like to engage in behavior that's akin to a Shetland, you know, it's just like some like gentle pawing. You know, it's like rough pong. You like don't really know what you're doing. You're like on the arm or something. Oh, wow. You like that? Okay, cool.
And I was going just about as far as she'd let me go, but her evaluation of my cowboy reputation had me begging for salvation all night long. So I took her out gigging frogs, introduced her to my old bird dog, and sang her every Willie Nelson song I could think of, and we made love.
What is this idea that always comes about in country songs, where like you have to go on the first time you meet somebody.
You gotta go frog
the number
hunting.
One. The number one thing is I'm trying to have sex with this person, and they don't want me to have sex with him. And so through a series of me showing my skills to them, I prove that I'm worthy of having sex with them. So he chooses his skills and he goes, "All right, sweet, we're going on the back roads. I'm gonna drive fast. I'm gonna take him frogging. I'm going to sing them a nice song. You let them know I'm musically talented." And then by the end of it, they'll be so wooed. They'll go, "I thought I didn't want to have sex with this person at all 3 hours ago. Then I saw him frog. Now we're going to have sex."
If you see someone frog,
like who are the people that are completely out on having sex 3 hours prior? And then 3 hours later, after seeing whatever skills the person possesses, which again, this guy went frogging. He went and caught frogs, it sounds like.
Listen,
and that's the skill that won her over.
If big or rich took me frogging, I would feel obligated.
Do you think... Yeah, that's maybe a good point. When you see Big get his hands on some poor, unsuspecting toad...
Like, all right, let's get in the back of the truck,
he just
Big.
Grabs it, and you're like, I mean, if you can do that with a frog, what could you do with me?
All right, let's go to Dear Utah. We have people.
That's the end of the song?
That's the end of the song. Well, they do the ride a cowboy thing a bunch more times.
So they talk...
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
What is that song about? What are these songs about?
I think it's about...
I'm so perplexed sometimes. What is going through these people's minds? So the song is this. I got a sweet ride. I got a sweet horse. I ride into Nashville on a horse, which is illegal. You can't ride into Broadway on a horse. You can't do that, okay? And he rides, and everybody's heads turn, and they go, ooh, boy. And then he makes noises back to them, ooh, boy, because everybody's attractive. Mm-hmm. And now he goes, and he finds the one woman, and he goes, let's head on out in my truck to the countryside. She goes, I think you're thoroughbred, but I don't want to have sex with you tonight. Mm-hmm. And he goes, watch me frog for a little while. You change your mind. She goes, you know what? You're right. Let's have sex. That's the song.
That's basically
that's an insane song.
I think it's really a discussion about animal cruelty.
Okay.
It's like, hey, we need to treat horses better.
Well, oh, no, I was not thinking that at all. I think the animal cruelty part is, why are you
killing
all these frogs to try to have sex with somebody? You can have sex with somebody outside of frog killing.
That's not been my experience.
It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy.
It's not my experience.
My experience, it is super hard. Every time I get, I go out on a date with somebody, I go, we're going straight to Utah Lake. I'm putting on some dishwasher gloves and I'm dipping in. And if I catch a frog, just you wait. The feelings that go off inside you, we're going to be back in bed in no time.
Weird.
But I let the frogs go, though.
You do weird stuff.
I let the frogs go because I'm humane.
Yeah.
You don't got to kill it.
No.
The skill is in the catching. That will impress the person you're with. Then you let the frog go. They go and they live a healthy life.
All right, so let's get to Dear Utah. A lot of people are clamoring for Dear Utah today.
Okay.
Clamoring. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Homie. If you have a question or comment about Utah, email us at dearutah@thebeehive.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, text us, contact us on any of our social media accounts at @TheBeehiveHQ. Use the hashtag DearUtah. All right, here's the tweet. This is from Neat_Hot.
Neat Hot.
Neat Hot says, or asks, when Emma Stone absolutely slayed her lip sync of Hook by Blues Traveler, did she just already have that in her pocket, or did she learn it specifically for her Tonight Show appearance?
Okay, this is a good question by Neat Hot for a lot of reasons. First of all, I didn't know anything about what was going on in this tweet. So it sent me down a path that I knew nothing about, which I like. You know, people set me off on a little scavenger hunt. Then I learn about an area I didn't know about, and I go, oh, this is cool. Then I go back to the question. I go, okay, we'll get to that eventually, but what is this lip syncing stuff in general? So I'm going to start with the lip syncing. Because this was a whole new world to me. Mm-hmm. I did not know that Jimmy Fallon and maybe other people, they have what are called lip sync battles where they bring on celebrities and they lip sync songs against one another. So Jimmy Fallon does it and then a celebrity does it. In this case, it's Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I think everybody decides who won or something. I don't know if it's judged.
It's always the guest.
I don't know. Okay, the guest always wins.
Yeah, the guest always wins.
So I watched a few of these things, and then I watched the Emma Stone one, then I watched a few of the other ones because I'm like, what is going on here? First of all, it's the least funny thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, of course.
Which is weird that...
They work for General Electric.
Which is weird. I forgot how unfunny Jimmy Fallon is. I'd forgotten. Yeah. I'd completely forgotten. And then I saw him lip sync and I went, yeah, this is the least funny guy that's in that entire world. He might be. Who's less funny?
I don't know.
It blew my mind. So I was watching Jimmy Fallon at first and I couldn't concentrate because it was so strange. And I was just like, is this a comedy? I don't get what this is.
It's not comedy.
It's not comedy. Okay, it's not comedy. What's he on right now? Is Jimmy Fallon on network
TV? He's Tonight
TV?
Show. Yeah, he works for General Electric, NBC.
NBC, okay. So this is even crazier. Okay, so I get to Emma Stone. Who Emma Stone's a badass.
Oh, America's sweetheart.
Emma Stone.
America's sweetheart.
America's sweetheart, great actress, all the above. She did do a really good rendition of Blues Traveler Hook.
Well, lip sync rendition.
Yeah, lip sync rendition, sorry. Yeah. So she's like into it. Mm-hmm. She's going the whole nine yards. First of all, that song, baller song.
Great song.
Anybody who grew up in that time frame, nostalgic connection, you heard it everywhere you went. You knew the words, all that kind of stuff. So to answer the question from Neat Hot, it's my personal opinion that she had it in her, she already knew everything. Yeah. Because Emma Stone is of similar age to us. And so when you're of similar age to us, you grew up when Blues Traveler's Hook was a very, very, very prominent song. And it was on everything, everywhere. And everybody loved it. Okay? So I actually think she's just like, oh, put Blues Traveler's Hook on. I already know the words. Front to back, back to front. I can pretend like I'm the lead singer and everybody will think that I'm actually singing the words. So that's why I think she just balled out. She already knew it. It was the song that she grew up with. And that's what allowed her to just decimate poor Jimmy Fallon.
I haven't seen it, but I assume it.
Well, that's not good research on your part. I'm the only person who's doing research for this segment.
Let me ask you this. Is it fun? Is it entertaining to watch her lip sync? No. I bet it's kind of fun.
Well, the part of it that's fun is I like Emma Stone as an actress, and I like Blues Traveler's Hook. And so to see them together, I'm just like,
that's a nice combo.
You can groove with a song, and I go, yeah, this song's sweet. And then I'm watching Emma Stone, and I go, yeah, she's a good actress. Oh, I remember in this and this. Oh, remember her in Zombieland? Oh, that was a cool movie that nobody really paid attention to. So I liked those aspects of it. However, if you put any person in that's just like a whatever actor, actress to me, where I'm like, all right, yeah, they're fine. I don't really care about them. And then I watched them lip sync a song, and I had to watch the whole segment of Jimmy Fallon and this person. It would be a 0 out of 10 on the entertainment scale, like a true 0. Okay. So that's where I'm a little bit confused about the segment, because apparently it's an ongoing thing that always happens.
Well, the Tonight Show is very musical. It's because musical. Of him. Like he's a good musician. He's got the Roots with him.
The Roots are cool.
So it's a very musical show. In fact, I've seen a segment where he does, it's like a wheel of music. It like randomly lands on certain songs, even though it's obvious what songs they're going to land on. And Ariana Grande has this segment with him where she sings like Wheels on the Bus or something crazy. And it's so cool. It's not funny. It's not a comedy. But I like a good musical.
Yeah, that's why it's cool.
I like good music.
So maybe you would like the lip sync then.
I don't think I'd like the lip sync because I don't know. I'd have
are
to
there
see.
Ever musicals where the people are lip syncing, or is that always natural?
No, the wheel one that he brings out like actual singers. Like Ariana Grande or Christina Aguilera has one that's way cool. I've seen all of those. Seen all of them. You got to watch the Ariana Grande one.
I'm not going to watch that.
All right, that's the show.
I'm not
going to
watch that.
Thank you, Neat Hot. You're very kind for calling in or emailing in or tweeting in. That's the show. Signing off for Chris Rawl, Kelly Jensen, and Weston Tanner. My name is Clint Betts, and this has been another episode of The Beehive.